Hey everyone, what's going on? It's Josh, JCL Felto for The Writer's Lens, and today is going to be episode 12, which is finally my part two of the effects of storytelling and the effects of story on us, those who hear stories. I've been a little bit busy as of late with some other things I've been doing, such as interviewing. If you haven't been checking out my interviews, please do so. You can check it out on my YouTube channel also. And I've also been, I kicked off my first review of anything really, which was Stranger Things Season 2, so if you got about 8 or 9 minutes of your day to spare, you're driving in the car, you can check that out also. So thanks to those who have been tuning in on those as well, so thanks to you guys. But I'm finally getting to part 2 of the effects of storytelling and the effects of stories. So basically, how we tell stories and what they affect and what they do to us basically as viewers and listeners and eaters of information when it comes to storytelling. So the first half of this, if you might have forgotten from a few weeks back, I was talking about how stories are meant to entertain and as well educate us. So those two things were kind of easy in terms of explaining the entertainment value or the educational value of stories. I think we can all agree that stories are meant to entertain us, and we also can agree that stories are often used to educate us about things. I mean, think of any documentary you've ever watched. There's a story narrative happening, and you're learning something, hopefully, as you're watching it. But when it comes to the second half of this, which is what I wanted to discuss in episode 12 here, talking about cultural and moral values in story, this is a little bit tricky. And again, I'm using a definition that I've basically been taking out of Webster as far as what story is meant for us. So the second half of this is culture and morals. And the two of these can sometimes get, I think, intertwined with one another, and it can be a little bit confusing to differentiate the two, because culture tends to affect society, which can affect our morals, and our morals or our own personal morals can affect the way that we express ourselves through our culture. So again, this can be a little bit of gray area, but I'm going to try to separate them a little bit and touch on them, you know, I don't want to say quickly, but just talk a little bit about how story does have a pretty unique effect on us from a cultural and a moral standpoint. So first up to bat then is culture. And like I said, what is culture then as far as, you know, what is the definition behind it? Obviously, it's not bacteria. I mean, it is bacteria, but we're talking about a people group. What is, you know, you always hear the term being thrown around, the culture of that people or the culture of that group. Well, what does that mean? Well, it actually means how a group or perhaps country or people group, community expresses itself through art and through story. And like I said before, sometimes this can impose a little bit of moral values into it, but strictly just looking at how it affects our culture. So on a very big standpoint, or I should say on an aggregate and macro standpoint, how does culture get affected by story? Well, look at the United States. All right, the story of Santa Claus. All right, the United States is synonymous with the Christmas season, whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ or not. The Christmas season has been adopted as a major, major part of our culture because of, obviously, the gift buying and the holiday season that is recognized across the 50 states, but the story behind it as well, which is the story of Santa and what many kids are told, and of course, parents nowadays are either telling their kids the truth, which, spoiler alert to anybody that's under the age of 10 that still believes in him, Santa is actually not a real person. I'm sorry. It is a made-up fairy tale. But if you're someone who, you know, is already old enough and understands that, then so be it. There's no spoilers for you here. For the adults that still believe in him that are listening, I'm also sending my condolences. I will pray for you so to deal with the news that Santa is not a real person. But regardless of that, Santa has influenced American culture because of the fact that we have this national holiday and people recognize it. They may not even be Christians necessarily. They'll celebrate Christmas with the Christmas tree and the gifts giving, and the story of Santa comes out every single December, and how he flies around the world in one night, dropping off gifts to every little girl and boy across the world. And it's a cool little, I mean, obviously it's a nice story. It's a very good story. And it's affected the culture of Americans for years now. I mean, it's affected every part of our society. And it's synonymous with a lot of, you know, American things as far as Christmas. You have Christmas Town, you have Christmas stores. I mean, there you go. So affecting the economy and how we, I don't want to say barter and trade because that's way too old of a term, but how we use our money then and where we go can be affected by this. And you can also think of perhaps, you know, other stories of holidays such as Halloween or, you know, the story of Thanksgiving that's behind the holiday coming up this month in November, the first Thanksgiving that that was ever between the Pilgrims and the Native Americans. So lots of cool stuff there as far as storytelling and culture and how a culture is influenced by the stories that are around them. So culture can sometimes come out of, or rather I should say stories can sometimes come out of the culture that they're within. So if you have, let's say here in Cleveland, for instance, and sports talk is usually on people's minds when it comes to football because the Browns are just a terrible, terrible team, terrible organization. The culture here as far as the Browns can be very just negative. I mean, it's just, oh, every bad story you can think of revolves around the Browns. So that's part of the culture there within the team, okay? It's just can a very negative black cloud over top of everybody that plays for the Cleveland Browns or is around the Browns organization that wants to root for them. And as being someone that has played sports throughout my whole life, these, you know, 33 years of my existence, I can attest to the fact that when someone says, how's the culture in the locker room? You know, how are the guys getting along with each other? How is the team getting along, basically? That also is a big part of story and how we can share stories within that culture and be encouraging or discouraging. So, like I said, when in Cleveland, when you're talking about discouraging things, the factory of sadness, you're talking about the Cleveland Browns, and that can be the culture here. Again, I'm sorry, Browns fans. I'm not trying to be harping on it for being horrible or anything like that. I'm just trying to make an example. But you can step out of America, you can step out of Cleveland, and you can find different cultures all across the world and there's and the stories that are within them as well. So I'm a big fan of the show River Monsters, and Jeremy Wade, who catches everything under the sun, visits many tribes, he visits many people groups around the world, traveling through the Amazonian rivers, Nile rivers, you know, just all the major river systems. And he encounters these people groups, and he finds a culture there. Like, they have stories that are within their culture that are unique to them and how they express themselves. So this is the really cool part about, I just think, about humanity, is that where you go in the world, you will find different stories and ways that people express themselves within a people group that is kind of confined to that group. And a story like that, like, say, for instance, again, going back to my River Monsters example, you may have a people group that is in the Amazon that has a story about some sort of river god creature that is unique to them that would not be as unique to people here living in Cleveland, okay, because we don't live there, okay? So again, those kinds of stories are part of the culture, you know, part of what you grow up with. You learn these stories as you grow up. You learn your history in a way, too. That also has cultural value, storytelling through history. So for our culture in America, a lot of kids grow up knowing the story of Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War, and they learn maybe about other various wars like World War I or World War II and the stories of the people who came back from it, and they shared it, and it gets shared between different pockets of people all across the country. This affects the culture of a people group. So again, very cool stuff there as far as how events happen in our lives. And we then attach stories to them that then permeate a sort of ideology even around the people groups that are part of wherever they're at, you know, whether in America, whether in Brazil, whether they're in the Congo, whether they're in Russia, wherever they are, doesn't matter. So to me, that's a very, you know, very cool aspect of storytelling. And sometimes those stories are done in a way to affect people and make them think differently. Within that culture, you know, for instance, I think a lot about how different commercial ads tell stories, and they try to get you to buy things. Okay, you know, because I think the American culture, since it's a capitalist, we are a capitalist nation. A lot of things are geared around you should try this, you should buy this, you know, and that's part of our culture is that, you know, you ought to buy this or buy that, and you're always being marketed something. So we learn from a very young age that we should either listen to some ads or not, and depending on how maybe sexy the hook is that someone's trying to sell us something, we either reject it or we embrace it. So all kinds of just really cool implications there as to how story is used in those contexts to affect culture and even create value systems, which, of course, will segue into my second half of this, which I think is a little bit more interesting, in terms of the moralistic values that you take from storytelling. And probably one of the most famous phrases you hear when it comes to telling stories when you're a kid is, you might hear it as the question posed to you this way: what is the moral of that story? So it's obvious, I'm hoping that everyone here has heard that before or who's listening to this, but you might hear that phrase, you know, what's the moral of the story? And the reason behind that is because often when we do tell a story, we are trying to talk about morals. We are trying to talk about different things that we should believe and we should value. And many times this also comes down to differentiators between what's good and what's evil, or rather what's good and what's bad. And that's ultimately where our morals do come from. And like I said before, it could be an effort to say what's right and what's wrong. But where do we go is the question to determine what is right and what's wrong as far as our morals are concerned, and how do we tell stories that reflect that? And probably the best place I could think of as far as where you would actually go to determine these things would be, say, for instance, the Bible or the Quran or the Vedas or the Constitution of America, where you are given a written document that tells you these are the laws, these are the things that you should govern yourself by, and to behave accordingly. And how we interpret those laws, perhaps even through story, is also just as important. So, for instance, I think Disney is probably the most famous for trying to do this with kids' movies, you know, trying to instill in kids what they think is right, what's wrong, what's good and bad. And depending upon, you know, how you feel about the mega conglomerate of Disney and how they own so many different entertainment studios at this point. But I think for my own youth, having a sense of what is good and what's bad came pretty naturally in terms of all the stories that I watched. So first one I think of, for instance, is maybe The Lion King. Uncle Scar was a bad guy. He was after Simba's dad, Mufasa, and he also wanted to kill Simba. And looking back, it was pretty traumatic, as I recall, watching Mufasa get killed by his own brother. So I knew that that was bad. And through the fictional story of The Lion King, you learn and sympathize with the idea that doing that is probably a bad thing, because look at all the horrible things that happen after Scar killed his own brother. Again, though, depending upon one's subjective morality, though, you might think, hey, what a great opportunity for me to be king. I'll kill my brother. So, not that I'm endorsing that whatsoever. But through these kinds of things, we end up seeing what's right, what's wrong, through the lens of a story. And I find this to be one of the biggest means and importance of stories and telling parables, because when we have written laws for how we should behave, or what is good and evil, what is bad, what is good, we need stories to give us an idea as to how one behavior leads to the next, which could eventually end up having consequences. Which is why, you know, many times you might hear someone tell a story that ends on a good note for a good reason, like someone did a good deed and the story ends that way. I mean, social media is just littered with stuff like this now. I mean, you'll see short videos of like 4 or 5 minutes where people won't be talking throughout the whole thing, but it's about maybe someone on the streets who just needed a place to stay, and that person ends up kicking them out, but then they take them in, and then, you know, and now they become best friends. These like feel-good stories you can find just about anywhere, you know, hashtag feel good story. I mean, you could try that after this you're done listening to this podcast. You could try that. I'm sure you could find some. But the point is that we do try to, with story, establish a bit of a moral center in many of the things that that we say and we do. And you can often tell, even from the creative standpoint, the author, the person who penned it, where is their moral compass at? You can, individually. You know, I hate using the example all the time, but he's so well known. Stephen King, for instance. One of the biggest themes that he has in many of his stories is this loss of innocence that comes about. There's always kids in danger from some malevolent spirit or some horrific, you know, character or evildoer that's coming to get them. And there's this real conflict there of good and evil. And then the moralistic question is, you know, how do you deal with evil? Do you overcome it with force? Do you overcome it with strength? Different stories will tell you different things of how to handle evil, necessarily. So these kinds of things are very fascinating to me when it comes to storytelling, because depending upon what our own moral compass is, we may listen to a story, we may watch a story, and we could feel challenged by the message that we're hearing, and we could reject the story because we could say, no, this actually doesn't jive with me at all, okay? Like, I don't approve of this, so I walk away from it, and I don't want that to quote-unquote infect me. But if it's interesting, if it's intriguing, even if it doesn't necessarily agree with my morality, then you have a bit of a gray area there. I mean, probably the greatest struggle I have right now with shows would have to be Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones, in my opinion, is very well written from a storytelling standpoint, okay? Characters are deep, rich, etc. But the material to me sometimes just turns me off, because the moral centers of all these characters are so subjective and so selfish that I can't get attached to them, because many times they're just out for their own and they're exploiting every relationship they run into. So I just, and since I don't like to view the world that way, that I don't want to exploit my friends or people that I run into and immediately exert my force over top of them, I have a hard time watching that show, and I have a hard time dealing with the implications of these people's decisions. But to a lot of folks, it's like an escape. Like, I myself would never do those things. Like, a person may be thinking this. I'm not saying me, myself, but a person might be saying to themselves, I would never make the kinds of decisions that I see happening in Game of Thrones. But on a very different, you know, on another note, I could see how someone would make that decision and how it would affect them morally. You know, how would it play on their conscience? Do they have a conscience? Do they even feel guilty about it? Are they ashamed about what they did? And this can challenge a person. And like I said before, depending upon what your own moral compass is and what you view to be good or bad, you could reject the idea, or you could reaffirm yourself and go, you know what, that person got exactly what was coming to them and they deserved it. So again, when it comes to storytelling, we're always being bombarded with value systems and morals and what we think is good, what we think is bad, or like I said before, good and evil is more so the crux of a lot of different stories that we have to establish our value system. So that's kind of it for a nutshell as far as storytelling goes, and how it affects us from a cultural and moral standpoint. And I could literally go, I could probably have 4 or 5 more episodes just on these two topics alone, but I'm going to have to probably cut this one short so I can extrapolate an idea out a little bit further. But I just really wanted to just kind of do a brief overview on storytelling in a two-parter because, hey, I like stories. I like telling stories. And I like analyzing all the implications therein as far as it pertains to storytelling. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this, or at least taken a little bit from it as storytellers that you might be yourself, or different stories that you enjoy as well. So all that being said, guys, I'll be back again next week with a little bit different, not different format, but just kind of kicking it off into a new topic as I finish this two-parter. So until then, have a couple of good days, guys, and I'll catch you next time on the Writer's Lens.